thank you for joining us today for the Fairlosophy podcast. We're going to be talking about everything related to fair trade fashion, including sustainability, ethics, human trafficking, our artisans, and keeping kids in school. My name is Jackie Costello, and I own the Golden Rule Boutique, an all fair trade boutique based in San Diego. My co-host is Jen Parlin, and she is a fair trade partner with Threads Worldwide based in Connecticut.
In this episode, Jackie and I welcome Mary Savoca from Ash & Rose to the podcast. Ash & Rose is an ethical fashion retailer out of Boston, Massachusetts. Mary tells us all about her business, her partnership with her mom, and their very own line that they design. We had lots of fun chatting with her. Well, thank you so much, Mary, for being with us here today. You know, first, we'd love for you to just introduce yourself to our audience so they can, you know, get to know who you are.
Awesome. Well, thanks for inviting me onto your show. I'm Mary Savoca. I'm a co-founder of Ash & Rose. My business partner is also my mom. So we're a family business. Ash & Rose is a retail shop and an online store specializing in ethical and sustainable clothing, jewelry, gifts, and accessories for women. We sell from a couple dozen brands, including our own label that we make in-house as well. And our customers are really creative, chic, urban women who love to shop at boutiques, and we like to give them an ethical alternative to what they might find elsewhere.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So I got to stop into Ash & Rose a few months ago when I was in Boston. You weren't there, but...
Yeah, I think you met Nia.
I did.
My mom. Yeah.
Yeah, she was amazing. I had such great conversations with her. And your store had actually been on a list of places that I wanted to visit for a while. So I happened to be in town and I made a point to get over there. Could you just dive into how Ash & Rose came to be and a little bit like about your own fair trade journey?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a long, winding journey to having a boutique in the city. We started out when I was still in school, my mom and I, selling on eBay. So it began with kind of just like clearing out our closets and looking to make some money selling stuff on eBay. And we really loved doing it. We kind of got the eBay bug for a little while, and we started going to thrift stores and looking for cool things that we could resell, and collecting things from pretty much everywhere, you know, going to yard sales and flea markets and just searching for these cool vintage things. And it was a lot of fun being able to go to a thrift store and just look for awesome things and not having to only buy things in your size. I know one of the frustrations with thrifting is you love something and it's not in your size. So we really loved doing that, just going around finding cool things and reselling them online. Eventually, we realized that we really wanted to pursue this and have a business together, and that thrifting and reselling wasn't going to be our permanent business model. It's just not that productive or profitable. There actually are some companies who have figured out how to scale it and really do it well, and we didn't want that to be our thing. But in that process, we had learned a lot about sustainable fashion, because thrifting and sustainable fashion really go hand in hand. So it was kind of a natural transition for us to start looking into reselling some sustainable fashion brands. So we started doing some research. We started buying, you know, little bits from a few little designers, and started an online store. So we were now at this point off of eBay. We were still selling some of the vintage and pre-owned, but it was about half and half now, sustainable, pre-owned. And then eventually we decided to just go all in with a sustainable fashion and start our own collection as well. And that's when we decided to rebrand and launch Ash & Rose and really, start our company. And, then we've kind of grown from there. So,
yeah. When was that? Did you mention that? Sorry if I missed it. When did you start Ash & Rose?
Yeah. So we officially launched Ash & Rose in 2014 as an online store. That was the first time we really stopped selling secondhand and really focused on our own collection, as well as selling a couple dozen other designers that we loved. And, you know, even in just the past 5 years now, there's been so many new brands coming out, and it's just, there's been so much growth and so much opportunity to really refine our aesthetic and find designers who are doing what we love. And we've been able to really curate a collection that speaks to our aesthetic and build a curated boutique kind of experience within the sustainable fashion world. So it's been really, really cool and exciting. We've also been able to really grow our own line, which is made from upcycled fabrics. So that's mostly Nia's project, whereas I'm doing most of the buying. But she is sourcing sustainable fabrics and a lot of upcycled fabrics, designer remnant, dead stock, things like that, and creating these limited run collections of really unique, special clothes that we call the Ash and Rose collection. So yeah, that's where we're at now.
That's so cool. Where is she getting like the dead stock and upcycled fabrics from?
Well, she has a lot of different sources, but mostly she's connecting with resellers who are getting designer ends, which means that these are designers who, you know, larger brands who are buying a huge amount of fabric for their collections, and they might have, you know, 20 or 30 yards left at the end that to them is just waste material, that like that's nothing to them. But for us, okay, we can make, you know, 10 or 20 of a garment with that. And we're willing to do a really small run of a really special garment and, you know, sell it in our boutique. And for us, that's a great business model. So it's great to be able to kind of scoop up these materials that otherwise wouldn't have a great purpose and turn them into beautiful products that we put a lot of thought and care into. And the way that that works really well for us is we've come up with a few, you know, really simple shapes and bodies that we repeat over and over again in these really special, unusual fabrics. And then, you know, our customers who come to our store, they know, you know, what size they are in a particular style, and they always come in and see, what are the new fabrics? What do you have now? And it's always changing because we can't repeat a fabric again. You know, once it's gone, it's gone. And that's what's been really special about the brand that we're building ourselves. And it's a really nice complement to a lot of the other designers that we carry as well, who are, you know, doing some of the more basic essential pieces that are repeated and are available longer term. So yeah, we've built a really nice mix that we love.
That's so cool. I love that. So you mentioned that you're buying and that your mother is making the clothes then?
Yeah. So I do most of the buying. I mean, it's definitely we collaborate, but if we had to put titles on us, she's definitely the designer who's focused on our private label, the Ash and Rose Collection. She manages her team of sewers and designers. And I'm the one who's managing the online store, managing the boutique, doing the buying of the other brands that we are bringing in, and doing most of the marketing outreach and pretty much all the other things. I wear a lot
of
hats.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That's how it works.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, you know how it is. But we definitely collaborate. It's been really useful being a mother-daughter business to be able to define our roles. I would say, like, in the early years, we weren't as defined and there was more clashing. But now that we're in a place where we both know what we're doing and what the other is responsible for, it's a much more harmonious relationship. And we've been able to really grow and thrive by defining those roles and staying in our lanes a little bit more. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It can be challenging when you don't know, you don't have clarity on what you're supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Or what about just working with your mother? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know about you, Jackie, but I don't know if I could work with my mother.
I get that a lot.
I love my mom, but I can't see us running a business together. But of course, she's, you know, has different interests than I do. So that wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it has not been without challenges. We've had some big blowout fights over the years, but I would say in the last few years, it's actually the best our relationship has ever been because, I mean, even just on a personal level, right? Like, so I have two kids now. I have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, and, you know, she watches them 2 days a week while I go to work. And, you know, we have this very, like, collaborative relationship. And, you know, we've really spent some time having deep discussions about what are you responsible for? What am I responsible for? You know, and we've figured out how to communicate with each other. I don't really know exactly how it happened, but I think just realizing what wasn't working and saying, okay, how are we going to solve this? How are we going to fix this? You know, I think a lot of companies break up because the founders don't get along, but, you know, you can't break up with your mother, right? And we're both so passionate about the company and we're so in love with the work that we get to do that we were very motivated to figure it out. And I think we've done that. So, you know, we've gotten to a place where we're doing things that really complement each other. And we've learned how to give each other space as well and just appreciate each other's talents. And trust that we can, you know, let each other have space and do their work to the best of their ability, and something great will come from that. So, yeah, kind of evolved over time.
Yeah, yeah, and you have to be intentional with all the steps along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious, Jen, before you ask your question, what is the square footage of the store? How big is it? And this is your first location, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. We're actually about to move.
Oh, really?
But our current space, we're in a basement of a building, so we don't have our own front door. You have to kind of like walk down the entrance of a residential building and then go downstairs and get to us. But our space is huge. We have 1,500 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's quite big for a boutique. And we've really been luxuriating in the space. We're using it for, you know, our warehouse and our boutique, and we're doing a lot out of the space. But our ultimate goal would be to have, you know, potentially more than one location and be in places that have a little bit more foot traffic. So we actually, I just signed the lease this morning before hopping on.
Oh, my God.
For
congratulations.
A new space. Yeah, and it's happening very quickly. So we're moving into a smaller space, but it's going to open up opportunity to reach more people and, you know, kind of move down that path of hopefully having another location, you know, in the next few years. So we're really,
awesome.
Really excited about
That's
that.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
So what neighborhood is this going to be located in?
It's actually right down the street. It's like one block away from where we are, but it's at street level and it has big windows and it feels like a store. you know, we've been really relying on word of mouth and putting, you know, all kinds of arrows from the street leading down to our store. And, you know, people really have to make a big effort to get into us. And they do. And it's been great. You know, we've been here for 4 years. But, you know, we're excited to be in a spot that's a little bit easier to just walk into off the street. So
totally.
Yeah. So yeah. that'll be a really
that's
good.
That's so exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to visit.
Yeah, definitely. Next time you're in Boston, come
Absolutely.
Check it out.
Absolutely. Yes. So I know that you work with the artists and groups and, you know, you're the buyer. Do you work directly with groups or do you work through a group that works with the groups? If I'm making any sense.
Like a wholesale company.
Yes, there you go, Jen.
Yeah, so generally we try and get as close as we can to the producer. But for the most part, we're working with distributors in the U.S. I'm personally not someone who, you know, is a globe-trotting traveler. So we also, I should say, you know, this is a fair trade podcast, but we do a lot of Made in USA as well. That's a really big component of our store. So when we're buying in USA, we're buying directly from the people or the group who are making the products. With the fair trade, which is probably about half of our inventory is fair trade imports. In that case, we're working with representatives who are in the U.S. Who are showing us the products. You know, we're going to trade shows. We're connecting with a lot of people online, but I'm personally not traveling around and meeting artisans. I'm more, you know, trying to really do my research and source from brands who our customers are going to resonate with. The design is like the most important thing. And then, you know, doing my homework to find out if they are meeting the standards that we set for our store, meaning fair trade, you know, no child labor, no sweatshops, sustainable, you know, the sustainability component is a really big piece of what we do as well. So most of the brands that we sell that are fair trade, they're also using organic fabrics or natural fibers, or they're using recycled materials. And that's definitely something that we're looking for as well in all of our brands. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, I feel like a lot of people probably think if you want to work in this industry, like fair trade or, you know, partnering with groups across the globe, that you have to be the traveler, you know, you have to go there. And some people get really nervous about traveling to developing countries. You know, it can be really, you know, stressful if they've never been, or, you know, I have to get these vaccinations and I'm a picky eater. What do I do? But it's good to know.
Or that I have allergies, you know.
That's another thing. Yeah. So that's kind of cool that you mentioned that, and that, you know, people can imagine themselves working in this, you know, realm, this industry, and not having to necessarily travel.
Yeah. And I mean, I love hearing the stories, and I definitely appreciate hearing where the products come from. For me, my passion is more in the design and the curation and serving my customer. And that's the work that I love. And, you know, it's not to say that I don't like to travel. I love to travel. But for my career, what I've really focused on is building a brand that's going to speak to a wider audience in the U.S. And I really see that as my mission and my driving force behind what I do, more so than being the person who's going around sourcing the products and, you know, visiting these more remote communities and finding things. You know, I love connecting with the women who are doing that and who love that and who are passionate about that, and then giving them a store where we can connect them with customers who are going to buy it. And I see that as my place in this whole ecosystem. I'm the one who's reaching that end consumer. So, yeah, I mean, there's different roles within this whole system, and that's where I fit in.
Yeah, and we can't all do it all too, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you have any? I know you just mentioned that you just signed the lease, and that's so exciting. But do you have any other projects right now that that you're really thrilled about, or that you want to tell our audience about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that's happening for us right now is we've really focused on expanding our own private label collection and getting hyper local with that. So right now we're employing, I think we have 5 sewers for us right now.
Oh, wow.
And it's so cool because they're able to work from home. Because we're doing these really small batch production, we basically are, you know, sourcing our fabric, bringing in little bits, you know, assigning fabric to a design or a pattern, and then sending it off in bags with these women who are able to do it on their own time from home, bring it back, get paid, get the next batch. For me, it's a really exciting model, and I'm really excited to keep growing that because it fits right in with part of our mission, which is to help women. And we can do that locally, you know. For people who, for whatever reason, want flexible employment, who want something they can do from home, who want to make a little extra money on the side, being able to provide that for people is such a great thing. And I'm just really excited to see where that goes and, you know, have that be a bigger and bigger piece of what we're working on. I think we're always going to sell other designers too, because there's so much talent out there and we love putting it out there in our boutique. But I'm excited about our own brand as well and seeing where we can take it. So, yeah.
Awesome. That's so great. I'm so excited to see what you do, like where the future is going to take you. We'll definitely be following your journey. So we asked this, all the people we talk to on the podcast, we like to know, what is your personal definition of fair trade?
Okay. So I would say
no
that
pressure.
Yeah.
Whatever it is for you.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, when I'm looking at whether or not a brand is fit for our store, you know, I would include brands that are made in the US in this whole definition. I think that fair trade just has to do with treating people right and not exploiting people. I think so much of the fashion industry is based on exploitation. And people who are genuinely making an effort to do right by workers and make the world better instead of worse, you know, that's really the essence of what we're looking for with the designers that we partner with. So that might not be the technical definition of fair trade, but I would say just removing exploitation from the supply chain would be my personal definition. Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. And so it's simple, but like to the point.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're striving for, right?
Yeah.
You know, the fashion industry has just grown to conglomerates and not thinking about the people behind the products. And, you know, if we could just remove that piece, the exploitation, you know, what a difference.
Yeah.
I would love to hear some of the biggest challenges you have when running an ethical fashion boutique.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing that I noticed, like when we opened our brick and mortar store and we started interacting with real people, is just the total disconnect that so many people have with this idea of ethical and sustainable fashion. When we first started, we actually, before we opened our brick and mortar, we were doing some pop-ups out on the street and things like that. And the first time I heard someone say, oh, I don't buy organic. And it was like a negative. We said something was organic and they actually perceived it negatively. That was a shock. I was so shocked. But I've learned over the years that a lot of people don't prioritize this stuff. And it actually can. If you put it out there the wrong way, you can actually turn people off. So
yeah,
finding that right balance of showing people things that they're going to love and not insulting them, not criticizing the way that they're living their life, but just showing them something that they're going to love, that's going to be useful to them, that they want to own, that's going to be high quality, that's going to last longer than the alternative.
Yep.
You know, that's where we've found the most success. And we've actually had to kind of train ourselves to speak to our customers differently than we did when we first started. When someone walks in and they say, oh, cute store, we don't immediately say, oh, yeah, everything is sustainable. You know, we actually wait a little bit further along till we get a conversation and a rapport going with them. And then we can start to say, oh, yeah, by the way, like that's organic cotton. And it's going to feel really good on your skin. Or, you know, that product was made by an artisan group that's helping women send their kids to school. And we actually wait to introduce all this information until we're a little further along and they've already fallen in love with the product. And that's been really helpful for us to make that shift and to retrain ourselves on, you know, how to speak to people.
You're just speaking my language right now, you know? It's exactly what I've been talking to the girls that work at my store. It like instead of just saying like everything we own is fair trade, you know, like jumping in and saying that, just like, "Hi, how are you?" and then like we want them to like fall in love with the products first, you know? Like we want them to want the product and then that message and everything else comes alongside. And like, we don't want it to be like a charity buy, you know? We want you to love the product first. And Jen and I were just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's like right on point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I've seen, you know, I've been in ethical fashion space for like in some form or another, probably about a decade now. And I've seen so many businesses fail. And I think the common thread with ethical businesses that don't survive is that they put that so big front and center. There are so many stores that have said, we're going to be the superstore for all things ethical. And there isn't a customer for that. You know, there might be a few people out on the internet who are Googling sustainable fashion and are actively looking for that. But for the most part, people say, oh, I have an event next weekend. I need a dress. And they're not looking online for the sustainable options. Yep. They're looking for something they can wear to their event next weekend. And if we can meet them where they are and show them something that will work for their event next weekend and then say, hey, by the way, this was sewn by local women and it's made with recycled fabric. Isn't that so exciting? Then now they have a story behind the dress. Now they can go to this wedding or event that they're going to and not only have a beautiful dress, but they have a little story they can tell. They have a little bit of small talk, you know, that they can add to the experience. So
yeah, not just like, oh, I got this dress for $10.
Right. Yeah. If someone says, oh, like, I love your dress.
It's just exactly what.
Yeah.
It's just exactly what Jen and I were saying mm-hmm. yesterday, you know, it's like then they get to tell and change the conversation by talking about, you know, the cool piece yeah. they have, you know. Yeah. So
yeah, we're just kind of learning, like, that's our job. Our job is not to educate people. People do not want to be right. educated.
Not when they're shopping.
Our job, no. And they don't want to feel judged. And, you know, they don't want you to – if you tell someone, oh, everything in our store is fair trade and sustainable, and they've never bought fair trade and sustainable before, it's like you're judging them from the minute they walk in, because that's not what they're used to, and that's not how they shop. So we just want to make it really clear. We're not judging anybody for right. buying in a more conventional way. That's what everyone already does. But if we can divert yeah. a few of those purchases towards more sustainable, ethical brands, then we feel like we've done our job and that we've contributed in the best way that we know how to. So,
yeah. And I'm wondering if, like, when people walk into a store and, you know, they're told that, like, everything here is fair trade and sustainable, and they don't really 100% know what that means. They're like, I should know what that means. Am I, you know, is there something wrong with me? Am I stupid? Like, I don't right. really fully know what this means. I don't want to ask, because then it's going to be like, she's assuming I already know, or she would have explained it further.
Exactly.
And so now it's like this weird, yeah, this weird thing.
Yeah, you're here. Starting that relationship with this sort of negative energy. And you wouldn't think right. that announcing that your store is ethical and sustainable would put off negative energy, but it does. And it's much better to say, hey, how are you? What brings you in? You know, what are you doing in the neighborhood today? You know, can I help you find anything? You know, just talking to people. And then when they fall in love with a product, tell them a little bit more about it. And, you know, tell them exactly what it is about that particular product that makes it special. And, oh, by the way, everything in our store has a great story behind it. You know, that's just a much better approach. And I still struggle with that sometimes. You know, if you're drawing a blank, what to say to someone when they walk in? Oh, we're sustainable. but it's so much better to ease them into it and make them feel comfortable and welcome them into this world, into this whole idea of shopping this way. And you're not going to change someone's entire, you know, path. You know, they might still next week go shop at a fast fashion brand, but at least this week they didn't. And maybe they'll start thinking a little bit more about seeking it out in a more active way.
Yes, so, totally.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Yeah, I love that.
Yay, I love it. So where do you see Ash and Rose in 10 years?
Well, if I'm dreaming really big, which I like to,
please do.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to grow our online presence. I want to be a name that people know. And I also, I really love brick and mortar. That's something I'm really passionate about. You know, everyone says, oh, grow online. But I love the idea of having more store locations and kind of being on the front lines and connecting with people off the street who have never heard of this before. You know, that's something that really drives me. And I also just love, you know, creating experiences for people. I love designing store spaces. You know, that's what I love. And so to have a few different shops and to be able to design the decor and create experiences for people, to me, that's where I can make the most impact. And just reach more people who maybe wouldn't have found us online, right? Because if you're online, you're kind of reaching the same crowd over and over again sometimes of people who are seeking out sustainable fashion, who are already connected to this, who already know about it. So I think just being in places where there's tourists, where there's people out shopping, looking for the boutique experience, who, you know, might not be expecting to shop sustainably.
Yeah, awesome. What do you think is going to change in the world of fashion in the next 10 years? Because I know you have your hands in, you know, ethical, sustainable, fair trade. Where do you think that can,
yeah.
that can go?
Well, I mean, there's so much technologically that's happening. It's exciting to me that there's so many things on the horizon that I'm hoping will work out that will cause ethical fashion to be less expensive. Because that's one of the biggest barriers, you know, for us too, when we're out looking at brands, there's so many that are just so expensive and we don't even want to bring them into our store because it's just going to turn people away. I hear things about, 3D printing clothes and, all this technology that I really hope, that I really hope will work. Right now, to produce a garment, there's just so many woman hours that are involved in doing it because my clothes are made by women primarily. I look forward to seeing where the technology takes the fashion industry in terms of, reducing the costs and making it possible to produce sustainable fashion at a more affordable, accessible price point for people. And open up more possibilities for design. And again, things that don't exploit people and workers. That wasn't the best answer ever, but...
it was a perfect answer.
Yeah, no. Because it can go in so many different directions, and there's, I think there's so much opportunity. And like you said, with the technology, like, a lot can change and very quickly, I think.
Yeah, so it is. And I feel like exciting. Fashion is still, it's made basically the same way that it's always been made, for the past, 100 years, there hasn't been that much innovation. Aside from fast fashion, right? Like, that's the big innovation that's happened. And that's not so great, as we know.
Right.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Yeah, me too.
So can you tell our listeners, where to find the boutique if they'd like to visit? I guess you have that new location coming in as well.
Yeah, so the new location, it's actually the same place that we're at now, just a little bit of a better storefront.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so we're in the SOA Art and Design District in Boston, Massachusetts. So we're surrounded by a lot of art galleries and design showrooms and artist studios. It's just a very creative, arts-centered community that I would encourage anyone to visit if you're coming to Boston. Really fun place to walk around. Jen, I don't know, were you here like during the SOA Open Market or during a festival or anything like that? Or did you come in?
I wasn't.
Just a random day?
I forget what day I was in, but I think it was during the week.
It was midweek, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's our community. It's definitely quieter midweek, but there are these big arts festivals that happen every weekend.
So cool.
Definitely, if you're coming to Boston, it's SOWA, SOWA. It's a really great neighborhood to check out, and that's where you will find us as well. And then we're online, obviously, too, ashandrose.com, and that's where you can find us.
And then on Instagram, we love Instagram.
Yeah, I am not as great with the Instagram, but yeah, we are there. It's at Ash and Rose. I'm more of like a Facebook person, which is old school. But at Ash and Rose everywhere. We're on Pinterest, shop Ash and Rose.
Cool.
And we're going to get more active on YouTube in the next few months as well.
Oh, so exciting.
Look for that. Yeah.
What are you guys planning on doing on YouTube, like going live?
Yeah, well, so what we've started doing that's been really exciting is we invite local women who inspire us to come into the store and just have them try on a ton of clothes and tell us a little bit about themselves and talk about their experience in the store. So we started doing a little bit of that over the summer, and we're going to be doing a lot more of that over the fall and just publishing just some videos of people coming in, trying things on.
That's so fun.
Trying to kind of, bring that in-store experience to our online customers who can't actually be here.
I love that.
Maybe, see someone who has your same body type, see them trying on some clothes. So that's kind of where we're going next with the online world.
So fun.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's a very different route, but I love it. Like, that's just, I don't see people doing something like that. That's really cool.
Yeah. So far people have really been liking it. So
that's awesome.
Hey, I think I might try and get on that with you.
Oh my gosh.
Try on some clothes and
Be in a video anytime.
Fun.
Let us know when you're coming back. Yeah.
Okay. Well, definitely.
So fun.
Love to have you.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I feel like I could pick your brain forever just because we're in the same position. But we had a blast chatting with you, and we hope we can do it again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Here at the Fairlosophy Podcast, we recognize that we do not live in a bubble. We are all connected. There are people behind every product we shop for, and we can influence their lives when we vote with our dollar. If you like this episode, take a screenshot and share it on your social media. When you do, you'll be entered to win a giveaway that we will do live on Instagram once a month. Tag us and follow us at The Fairlosophy Podcast. Good luck!